It's Comedy Shoeshine.
I've recently entered the level of fat as a man where you have to wear a collared shirt.
It's not fun to suck dick at something. That's not... And furthermore...
Unless it's a dick sucking contest.
Yeah. No, even then, I don't want to suck dick at it.
Are there ventriloquists that aren't comedians? Are there serious ventriloquists?
It's time for a Comedy Shoe Shine.
With Sandra Thomas.
Listen up.
Comedy Shoe Shine episode 205. Sam reporting from a satellite. He's in his satellite.
I keep forgetting to bring my good microphone set up.
Yeah, the explanation is just Sam's an idiot and can't remember his cable, so he just uses a shitty mic every time.
Yeah, I don't care.
Who cares? Show sucks. Good stuff. No, it's fine. That's how little regard Sam has for you listening audience, but that's okay. It's still fun. We're still showing up. Actually, I tell you what, Sam's working fucking nonstop and still set aside the time a little late, but set aside the time to record. So just kidding. He does care about you guys.
I wish I could show how I care in other ways where I wouldn't have to do anything. Then I would really.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah. That's the Christmas season for you. Like, can I show I care but not think of a thing to buy anybody? Like, why don't they have a full on? Okay, this is another $1 billion business idea. God, we make a millionaire a week here on the show. Just a full on. I will cut a check. Name your price. I wouldn't even think much about it. I'll save all year for this. I will cut thousands of dollars in check to one. Company or app or whatever, just figure out all of Christmas for everybody that I am involved with in any way. Like determine like what's appropriate, what I should, what's my level. I'll answer some interview questions, like they can do a little questionnaire like, oh, how close are you with this person? Like, have you slept together? That kind of thing. What's an appropriate thing? And just figure it all out. Send it, make it seem like it's all for me. I'll pay. What would you pay for that? I have tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Not to have to think about it. And I don't I'm complaining. I don't even, Lydia does most of it. Like, she does pretty much everything because she's amazing. And it still is like too much. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't do anything. I got a good couple thoughtful gifts. I was going to, one of today's stories I was going to say is that, I was telling my wife, like, I don't know what to get. It's impossible, especially if being married for 15 years or whatever it's been now. What is there to get somebody at a certain point? There's nothing.
Well, and if anybody wants something, you push a button and a slave who's not making any money and, is practically going to be fired at any minute, who works for Jeff Bezos, brings you the thing instantly for no money. Like, that's, if you want anything, we have slaves that just give it to us and wait for not enough money.
Dude, I was reading, I'll get back on track, but I was reading about, I always read Amazon stories come up a lot about all that, but also just that, like, they don't actually make any money. Like, they're just growing or whatever.
Amazon hasn't shown a profit ever. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
Thinking, dude, what would happen if Amazon was like, we're done, we quit? Like, they just shut down. And then everyone was like, wait, we have to go buy stuff?
That would end the economy as we know it.
I know. Once it's
maybe
like
that's
this,
the
you
plan. Maybe the plan is like he doesn't need to make money. Well, first off, he's still making bajillions of dollars. And their valuation always gets higher and higher despite never making. I don't understand how that works. But anyway, maybe his plan is like, we'll get everybody in the world dependent on us. And then we'll just one day he'll just call the president, whoever the president is at the time. He'll just be like, hey, I have the kill switch here that just stops Amazon. Once you, and then just work out some deal where the whole country just has to pay a ransom, basically. Otherwise, he's going to kill Amazon.
Could happen. Subsidize Amazon. Like, it becomes part of our, we each get a $50 stipend a month for Amazon just to, keep it afloat.
Yeah, like, most of the government budget just goes to Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anyway.
So anyway, my wife was like, yeah, well, just can you, she goes, the last like 100 Christmases, she buys, you know, all the cousins and our kids and everybody. She does all of it. Like I got a couple things, but she does all of it. And then on Christmas, like I usually get her one big thing, and I've a couple times it's been like something where it's like not even on Christmas morning. It's just like, oh, I got, you know, whatever. Here's your, I don't know. I can't even think of what I've gotten her. And so then she goes, like, can you just give me a bunch of like nothing stuff that, so I could open like a present on Christmas, like, cause no one, you know, she gets a couple things, but she's like, I always feel, or especially our morning with just us and the kids, oh, right, they have a thousand presents.
There's nothing for her.
Yeah. She doesn't even open anything. I was like, oh yeah, that's true.
That's funny.
So I just went on Amazon and bought like 100 things. I was like, it's so easy. Actually, I was looking once you, once that's taken true. Away of like,
That one year, actually, I bought Lydia a shitload of things. Well, and I usually have to do her stocking, but like, I think I was off the hook for that this year. Let me know, hon. I'm pretty sure I wasn't supposed to do that this year, but I'll figure it out if I have to. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's, I don't know. We're kind of, I go back and forth because I want there to be Christmas. I don't want to do the easy way out of everybody stops buying everybody everything. But like, there's just certain ones that are tough. And like, I actually, you know, like I like it. I still want to do it. And I should have helped more with Lydia, but you know, she also just does a lot of it. Like, you know, I don't, it's hard. She'll be like, what do you think you should get this person? And I try for a second and then she just figures out a better thing. You know, like it's, I want to help. I'm trying. But yeah, it's like with us this year, we were just kind of like, I don't know, let's buy a new fucking dishwasher or something, you know, like let's just do something we need to do that is kind of a big gift for both of us. And not, we've got Phoebe, so it's really all we need.
Yeah. That's what kind of we had been doing. So. She never has any to actually open, but I got a bunch of good stuff. It should be fun.
That's cool.
But, excuse me. Oh, so my main thing this week, I don't think I told you. Maybe I did tell you. Pretend I didn't tell you this. I don't know if I told you, but we're having a problem with my son being scared of everything.
Oh, yeah. I feel like here and there you've told me.
So he's in particular scared of ghosts. That's the scariest thing for him. And he's 5, you know. And my daughter's 9, and she's not scared of anything. Thankfully, she like believed me early on when I was like, no, none of that's real. So you don't have to worry about any of it. Somehow she just went with that. But my son's in kindergarten and he just one night, you know, they have to take a shower every night after, you know, before they go to bed, it was a shower and all that. It used to be baths, but not showers. And then says, I take a shower. And he's like, no, I don't want to take a shower. And we couldn't, you know, we didn't really know if he's just in a bad mood or whatever. And he just wouldn't do it. And so we said, all right, well, you're just going to go to bed without a shower and without, you know, the usual 45-minute routine. And so he did it. Like, we thought he would be like, all right, fine, I'll take a shower. But he just was like, okay. And he went in bed and, like, went to bed early. Yeah. And so the next day, like, he went to school again and came to the shower time. And he was, like, not taking a shower. Like, well, you can't not take a shower for, like, 48 hours. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's gross enough after 24 hours.
He's a messy kid.
Yeah. Kids don't have the BO that adults have, but they still get all grimy and, you know, it's just gross. So it was like a big tantrum and everything. And I was like, all right, what's going on? He wouldn't say anything. He's like, I just don't want to take a shower. And then, I said, I was like, well, I'm going to have to put you in the shower. Like you have to, I have to clean your body. Like I have to do it. So all this stuff. And then I said, all right, what can, if I stand here towards, you know, by the shower, is that whatever? And so it kind of did that. And then, he finally, like, one thing about him is my daughter will tell me anything. Like, she'll just be very, not ashamed of anything, but he will not say, like, what's really going on. It's impossible to get him to, like, open up and say whatever it is. Yeah. He'll just act like it's not happening and just ignore you, and you can't, like, get through to him on stuff. And so finally, I was, like, sitting with him, and my wife was, you know, he wasn't embarrassed as much because it was just me and him. I was like, just tell me what's going on. I won't tell mom, and, you know, whatever. And he goes, well, my friend in school told me that he was taking a shower and he saw a ghost. You know, and I was like, okay, here we go. Jeez. So I tried to talk to him like, you know, ghosts aren't real. Like, they don't exist. And we went through all these things like, do you think dragons exist? And he was like, no. He goes, no, because they're so high up in the sky that you can't see them. So I was like, yes, I do. But also, I just, that one I'm not worried about because they're all flying so high. What are they going to do? They don't come all the way down to the ground. To like,
man. You know, lot to untangle here.
Blaze people with their fire breath. And we were going through all the stuff, and I go, what about werewolves? And he's like, no, but are there real wolves? And I was like, yeah, there's real wolves, but it's not werewolves. So we're going through all that, and he wouldn't. I was like, it's okay, you believe in ghosts and all this stuff. And so finally, we talked about that. I got him all calmed down, and he's taking a shower. And he goes, also, there's something in your closet that's scary. And I go, well, what is that? He goes, I don't know what it is. It's a black thing. And I go, all right. So I walked over there thinking like I would see something or figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I go, I'm in the closet. What is scary here? And he goes, and he was like pointing all scared at this, you know, those little plastic like organizers you could put clothes in or whatever, oh, yeah, at the drawers or whatever. I had forgotten like 20 years ago. Remember it was cool like in the 90s or early 2000s? Maybe it's still cool. When you buy like skateboard or parts or snowboard parts, they always give you like stickers of whatever the brand is and all that. You know that?
Yeah, kind of.
So apparently I've had this box thing since I was in college, and I bought some like bearings or whatever for a skateboard. And it's like the size of a, I don't know, like a, if you imprinted a basketball on a piece of paper, it's huge. It's this giant black like panther with snarling teeth like, on the thing. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's actually really scary. You should be scared of that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I didn't even realize it was there, you know? It's perfect because it's like you look in the closet and it's just stuck on this little plastic thing. Like, oh God, it looks like the devil, like a devil panther. Man. And so
poor kid.
Yeah, I know. So I go, all right, I'll take that off. So I started peeling the sticker off, and I didn't want to throw it away because I don't know, I should have, but I was like, I've had this forever. I found a piece of plastic, and I was like, I just put it on the plastic and put it in one of the drawers. I'm like, all right. And he goes, it's still there. I was like, yeah, but you can't see it. He goes, yeah, but you just put it in the drawer, so I know the scary thing is still in the drawer. It doesn't really help a kid to know that frightening thing is just, you know, 10 inches higher than it was
inside.
So
weird. Yeah.
So funny. So he takes a shower and everything, and I was just waiting on the bed in the bedroom because I was like, fine, I'll just stay here, you know, whatever. And so he gets in the shower and he's like singing and doing all this stuff. And he came out of the shower and I go, so, you know, how'd it go? Like, did you see any ghosts? And he goes, no, it's really steamy in there. And, you know, like, plus I have my eyes closed, you know, and I was like, yeah, geez. And he goes, and then he says, he goes, plus ghosts are invisible. And I was like, well, then if they're invisible, then what? Like, what? Why are you scared of him? If you can't see him, like, what's going to happen? And he goes, dude, most serious face and voice. He goes, because they can boo you. Yeah, it's like my favorite thing ever.
Man.
I had to laugh for a day about that.
They can boo you.
Yeah, that's like just what he's scared of.
Bad stand-up set, and they're going to boo him. Yeah,
yeah, his five-year-old brain is just like, I'm going to go in there and a ghost is going to go boo, and it's going to be, he won't be able to handle it. Like he's crippled with fear.
Oh man. They could boo you.
Yeah. The weirdest thing is that like he obviously reasoned a little bit, like he understands some stuff, but it's so hard to determine like what sort of logic will he accept or like try to think about. And then what is just like, he just won't do it. Like he just doesn't believe me or whatever. Cause I was laying in bed with him before this and I go, like, if you think about ghosts, just generally, because they're totally not real, but let's say you thought they were real or whatever. Uh-huh. What is the worst case scenario if there's a ghost in your house? Like, let's say you 100% believe in ghosts and you think your house is haunted. What have they ever done to anybody if they do exist? And I said, like, I was just trying to talk to him, like, why would the ghost be in the shower, like, all the time? Like, he's just, his whole purpose is just.
It's a real, like, neat freak ghost. It's constantly grooming.
I was trying to like get him to laugh about it. Like, so the ghost is in there, and then you come in, and he goes boo, and then he's like, "Yes, I got it. I booed him." And then I get like, does he get? What does he get
ghost
from it?
Points.
Yeah. Like he just deserves like a.
That's his weekly ghost credits. There you go.
Yeah, it's just there's
spend
like
a ghost
alliance, and they're all trying to compete for who could boo the most kids. And then if you win that, what is that? Do you get to not be a ghost? Like, I can't even. There's so many things that you, as a kid, you think you like believe in or whatever, but if you think about it at all, just like you know, everything else, there's no reason that would ever be a thing.
My favorite thing is ghosts' very like loose relationship with gravity. Like they can float off, you know, in the air. They can float in the air, so that in that way they're not tied to gravity, but they don't spin off of the Earth. Like, you know, they don't just leave the Earth instantly because the Earth is moving at an alarming rate of speed, like at all times. It's orbiting, it's spinning, it's all this stuff. So they have enough gravity to kind of stay where we are, but they're not going to stand. That's the thing. They're going to kind of just get a little bit of anti-gravity to kind of float a little bit.
Yeah, they're like helium. Like they, because helium. It's like when a balloon is at the, you know, almost to the end of its helium life. Yeah. It's exactly.
It's like exactly balanced between helium and whatever, like whatever you need to the density to like just barely float.
It's so weird. Well, I've said this many times before, but my wife still believes it. She's still scared of ghosts.
Still,
all the time. Like, yeah. Jesus. Well, she nothing's happened lately where she's like scared of it. But
no, but I thought you, heart you, of you hearts, weren't able to talk her out of that.
No. She definitely believes in ghosts still. 100%.
You know, I watched that entire Haunting of Hill House show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Because it wasn't really, like, the point of it wasn't really just be a scary thing. Like, it was kind of, it turned into a bit of a, like, family drama kind of thing.
What is that?
It was on Netflix. It was a Netflix show that came out, like, I don't know, 2 months ago or something.
But it's fiction. It's not like the one where they're trying to hunt ghosts. It's like a fiction
story. Yeah, it's the Haunting of Hill House. It's based on a... I think it's based on a pretty old book, I'm pretty sure. I think The Haunting of Hill House is a book from like forever ago that they've made a million versions of, you know. There's the one in the 90s or whatever that was like The Haunting. It's based on it. There's all, it's the same shit over and over. But like, they made it kind of pretty interesting, actually. Like, I wouldn't give it like an A+ or anything, but I kept being interested in it. Like, they did a good job of making an interesting show. And but the whole time I had some notes that I never bothered bringing up because it's just so funny to try to think of like what the what things are scary, you know, like especially as a if you were someone who makes scary movies like ghost movies. Obviously, if you're making scary movies and, you know, there's like gore and murders and all that stuff. But like if you're specifically making like, OK, this has to be a ghost thing and it has to be whatever scary to people. It's funny to think about what that has to be, you know, like it has to be. Stuff that you don't fully ever see, like it jumps out of nowhere and it goes right away. And it has to be like illogical. And like, it's just funny to break down the psychology of like the things it has to do. Like if a ghost just stands there for a bit and it's just, hi, I'm a ghost, and like carries on a conversation, then instantly you're like, oh, I don't care. It's not scary. It has to be weird and non-responsive. And like, like it's either an old person or a kid, or and like it has to move oddly. It's just, and it's really cool. It's actually can be kind of cool to think about, like, you know, I imagine it is an interesting art form for people who do want to try to think about like, okay, what is actually scary to people in like certain ways. And like one of the ghosts I thought was super creative in a way that was really kind of interesting to me. Like it moved in a way that like it always had its back towards you and it was like moving in a weird way. It was like floating in a very bizarre way. I don't know. I thought it was cool how they Yeah, so it's also funny when you like the minute you start thinking about it, it's like, yeah, it's just designed to be, it's based on our, you know, our instincts of like a predator is going to get us basically. Like it's start there and then it's also creepy stuff we aren't used to seeing and like
It has to be unpredictable.
Yeah, unpredictable.
The ghost has to be like, I don't know what this thing is doing. The big thing they always do is the ghost also has to act like it thinks it's still like living and whatever. Like it's caught in some time that it lives. So it's like, where's the, you know, it doesn't ever like, it's always staring off to the side. Like it doesn't look at the person and go like, hey, is it, you know, what's Christmas coming up this week? Or like, what are you guys doing? Like it can't.
Yeah,
it can't break through to like we're in the same reality. It always has to act like it's in its own reality, which makes it like
makes it scary and unpredictable. You can't reason with it, basically.
Yeah,
no, it's just interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. That reminds me of the the other thing I was going to talk about is that perfect segue is that I was making the argument with a group of people that Ghostbusters 2 is an amazing movie.
Yeah,
and we had. Yeah, sure. And they were like, every one of them. One guy said it's the worst sequel he's ever seen.
That's which just threw that out. Nonsense.
Yeah, and they
that
started
couldn't
giving me like
be less true.
The internet movie. Oh well, the first one got like 96 Rotten Tomatoes, and the second one got 56. Yeah,
I'll pull it up. Ghostbusters.
They said it got 56, and I was like, well, that's better than. And then I started thinking about it. I was telling you. What is a sequel that's gotten better than 56 of anything ever?
Yeah, and then I started saying naming some good sequels, and then you very appropriately said, "What's the best sequel comedy?" Yeah. A comedy sequel. And I'm at a loss. I cannot think of any comedy sequel. I would say the absolute closest would be, there's three movies that, what is it? Simon Pegg, I think his name is, you know, the, Shaun of the Dead, the police one, I'm blanking on the names. And then the, At World's End or something. I think it's called that. That they're not, but it's not really sequels. It's the same two guys. It's kind of a weird trilogy where it's not the same characters or anything, but it's like the same two guys and they, you know, and they're all good. Like, I like them a lot, but they're not a sequel. It's like, I don't think you.
That's cheating, because with Ghostbusters, you have to be like, they did the whatever happened in the first one. That story's done. You have to think of a new story.
It's hard.
But it's all the same. Has to be ghosts. It has to be New York.
I can't think of a comedy sequel that's not actively fucking horrible. Like the worst garbage ever. They're all terrible. Like the Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, like what worst comedy sequels are any good ever? So I would say Ghostbusters 2 is even better than what I'm singing in. No, it's like, it's pretty good. Like, I think people are too harsh on it. Yeah, the first one is 97 on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see, the second one, you said it was like 50 something.
That's what
Ghostbusters
somebody said, yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and I admitted that it was mostly because it came out when I was
53.
Yeah, it was like the perfect, you know, I was the perfect age to not really notice any plot holes or whatever. But I still, watching it now, I guess it's not as good as the first one, but it should be like an 80, I think.
I agree. Minimum. Like, I think people are too hard on it. I watched it and like there's here and there, there's some, you know, moments that fall a little flat that you didn't notice as a kid. But like, it's not that bad. I don't understand. And freaking Janosch is so good. Yeah. We got Janosch. We got the painting. It's all great.
Yeah, it's a good plot. At the beginning when they're like, you see him doing the song and they're doing birthday parties.
Yeah,
so like,
look good.
Yeah, it was good. Well That's written. Great like bit. This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Somebody tell me a sequel of comedy.
It's weird because I'm trying to look at these reviews. I'm trying to see like, you know. Trying to entertain the best argument from the other side. Here's a bad review. The sequel is, on the whole, fairly mechanical spook show filled with grinning ghosts that are definitely ghoulish but hardly menacing. The fuck are you talking about? Has nothing to do with why the first one's good or anything.
Yeah.
It's not a horror movie. It's a comedy. Yes. Oh, the ghosts weren't scary enough or something? Shut up.
Yeah, like very the little guy in the painting isn't scarier than anything.
That was, as a kid, the scariest fucking. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to think because I watched both of these as a kid and I was terrified of both of them. The first one, the library ghost, is one of the scariest things.
Yeah. Ever.
Like as a little kid, oh my God. The first ghost was terrifying.
Yeah.
And like the way the music is, I love these movies. They're so good. Anyway, let's watch them right now.
The dogs, the snarling dogs or whatever, those are pretty scary in the first one.
Yeah, they look terrible now, but.
Yeah.
man.
Yeah. Well, they haven't aged well. Yeah, like, they're in their 80s.
Yeah,
now,
what are those dogs doing now?
They look terrible now.
Yeah, I saw you see them in those celebrity magazines where they're like, ugh, like they're
on the bones, like
on the beach.
All mangy.
They're one of them got some surgery that didn't work, you know. Like, those dogs look terrible now.
All right, who brought the dog?
Who brought the so good. Love that movie.
Ghostbusters 2 rules. I don't care
what anybody
says.
It's not as bad as they're giving it. Definitely. I'll acknowledge. I would have given them as a kid. I would have given them both 100%. Now it's like, 100% for the first one. Agreed. Yeah. And then the second one, knock off a few. 75-80. Chance of departure, 75-80. Yeah.
Well, I always think, like, I guess not everyone watches movies like this, but for us, it's like, watch the first one 50 times and then watch the second one 50 times and then whichever, like, think of the lines that are funny, the parts that you quote, and there it's like 50-50. Like,
yeah,
there's
pretty much,
we don't do all quotes from the first
one. I would say
one.
We quote Janosch more than most things, like from most movies. It's so good.
Slime Square.
Slime
That's from the second one.
Yeah.
River of Slime. The one you do is all the time is, what was I doing while you guys were getting coffee? Yeah.
So good. God, that's a good, funny scene. Fuck off, everybody. This is not a bad movie. It's got some weaknesses, but like, he's drilling the hole in the. So good. Oh yeah, that's the one with fucking hey.
I got hey. 1,000 rounds. Yeah, it's Winston and with the. Yeah.
All right, now I'm pulling this up.
It's a better movie. It's actually better. Than yeah, the first
it's, it's so good. Let's see, Ghostbusters. Hey. I'm just gonna search Ghostbusters Winston. See what comes up. Now, so let's good. See. Yeah, it's the.
It's a whole pneumatic. Did you happen to catch the?
Hello. They're in the tunnel, the old train tunnel or whatever.
Hey!
Hey! Let's just watch this movie. That's all.
Hello!
That's
great.
Winston.
Okay, I'm out of here. Very good.
This movie rules. Oh, yeah, the train's next, right? Let's see. Hold on. Where's the train? The way he screams for the train.
I think that was the old New York Central, City of Albany. Derailed in 1920, killed hundreds of people. Did you catch the number on the locomotive?
Sorry, I missed it.
Dude, that's the one with I have a strong psychic yeah. belief. That's better than the
Bassmasters. Yeah.
It's so
yeah,
good.
I know Bassmasters.
Fuck off. That's the one with Bassmasters. Oh my God. That one is, yeah, it's really good. You guys are all, fuck everybody. It's good. It doesn't deserve a 53%. A couple weaknesses, sure. But like, yeah, I forgot about that whole bit. Like the. Oh man, what a great movie! Anyway, I'll fucking die on this hill. I'll go to the.
I know that's what I'm
I'll
saying.
I'll take this to the grave. But I want someone to name a better comedy sequel. Like the, I'm racking my. Oh, sorry, Wayne's World 2. That would be the.
Yeah, I don't. Oh man, I think Ghostbusters 2 is better.
Yeah, but it's still that's the only like good for me. The only good comedy sequel I can even think of. Like
I guess like Austin Powers.
Austin Powers. Yeah, Austin Powers may be the best comedy franchise all in all. Like I.
Yeah.
Every single one is pretty funny.
Somebody brought up a Naked Gun. It's 22 and a half.
God, if you try to watch those now, though, they're yeah. so bad. It's they're like they're funny here and there, but like the volume, the amount of shitty jokes is like,
yeah.
You can't even watch it now. I tried to watch Spy Hard, similar movie.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to watch Spy Hard the other like year, and I was like, ah. As much as I want to watch this for like, you know, old time's sake, it's just so dumb. So bad.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway. O.J. Simpson aside in the Naked Gun movies, he certainly holds up.
Yeah, Nordberg.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, yeah. So we've decided. We've solved that.
I think it's the best.
It's so good. Dude, I heard this. I'm gonna play something for you. Came across this song, which we all know. Everybody knows this song, but it was actually we were looking into, you know, for the trivia that we do, that you and I do most weeks. Mm-hmm. The last thing is like name that song. Well, it's not name the song. It's harder than that. You have to name the artist of the song, and it's historically been our weakest, you know, section. So. Yeah, Lydia and I started listening to like 60s because I love 60s music anyway. So I was like, oh, okay, we'll start listening to more 60s music because it goes by all the decades. So like there's 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And then I guess there's been decades after that. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and then some other made up decades. And so I was listening to 60s music, you know, and trying to learn some of the artists and stuff. And then it popped up like I was looking at. Oh, there's a playlist of like all the number one hits like ever. And I was like, oh, that's an awesome playlist. And here's one of them. I don't know if you already know that this is the number one hit.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I think we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon.
Okay.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin.
Alvin.
Alvin!
Number one hit. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about it and I realized that's from 1959.
Cool.
1959. Wow. And I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Maybe everybody's mind was fucking blown by the fact that they're hearing a high-pitched chipmunk singing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, we went millennia of human life without ever hearing like a sped up human voice, you know,
yeah,
or a slowed down human voice going
like the Winston.
Yeah, exactly. People lived and died just generation after generation out of Africa all the way down to the pass through history. We got the Romans, you got the all that. None of them, not a single goddamn one of them ever got to hear a delightful sped up chipmunk voice or a slow Winston voice. Until literally 19, whatever, you know, whenever, well, that might've been even in the 1800s when they invented I imagine when they first invented, you know, records and recording of any kind, it probably always was that they couldn't quite get it.
Yeah.
So until then, whenever that was invented, nobody had ever heard that before. It's crazy to think about.
So this is obvious, but they had to sing it slow, I guess.
Yeah.
Really slowly.
Yeah.
And obviously also someone has.
Key.
Has someone slowed it down to like what it really was people singing? That would be so weird to hear.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe we'll be the first ones to ever do that.
Nah, I'm sure someone's done it.
Maybe I can Google it. Let's see.
Google.
Chipmunk Christmas song slowed down. Oh, yeah. It's a Google search already.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
You sure you just haven't searched that before?
Yeah, I'm always searching that. Yeah, let's see. Oh, this is just the original record played slower.
That seems a little too
slow. I'll say we are.
Yeah, let's sing it now.
Huh.
Okay, Simon.
That's
okay.
Awesome.
Okay, Theodore.
Okay.
Okay, Alvin. Alvin.
Okay. Christmas time
That's
is
awesome.
Near.
That's cool.
Time for toys and time for cheer. We've been good, but we can't.
Well, that's way more easy to listen to. I mm-hmm. like that version better. No, it's funny because I didn't even think about this. Back when that came out as a fucking record, everybody could do that. So everybody's already heard that because you could just play it on the, you know, you play it on the slower record setting because there's two different settings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had that right away. That was a thing.
The records had there was like slow play and whatever.
Oh, that's right.
It just depended on how they made the record or whatever.
It's weird. Like all through the 80s, I've heard that song a million times and no one was ever like, here's this. Yeah. I never heard of anyone knowing this.
Okay. Slower. Hold on. It is different though, because they also had to, time compress it back to the original tempo. So it would have been like slower than that, I guess. It would have sounded different. So this was that, plus then they did something else to make it sound better. But that's funny. You can actually hear the actor. Like, I would have assumed it was all one guy. But then again, I guess if you're recording in 1958, didn't they pretty much have to record stuff like live? Like,
it
live? Yeah, so they did have a different guy doing a chipmunk voice. Well, that's awesome. And whoever thought of this, whatever fucking genius thought of this idea, they've gotten the recognition they deserve because... imagine what a great idea.
Yeah, I wonder what he thought when he was like, holy shit, yes, this is gonna be amazing.
Oh my god, chipmunk.
He was like telling the actors and stuff, and they're like, wait, I don't get it. He's like, you don't have to do it. So they're like, so we sing in a chipmunk voice? He's like, no, you don't have to just sing in your normal voice.
Yeah, they're like trying that. Oh, so I sing like that? No.
You sing like you.
Yeah,
you're gonna do nothing. I wonder if he did. He's like, let's not even tell them. Let's just tell them we're doing this album and then we'll just speed it up on them later.
Here, just sing this song, everybody. Just that, how you would normally sing it. That's awesome.
Alvin and the Chipmunks has gotten a lot of, they got a lot of mileage out of that, just being Chipmunks at the top.
There was a shitty movie of it, wasn't there, year ago?
TV show and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you would think those brands from those back then, like nowadays, people would be like, no, what is this shit, you know? Do you just have to keep doing it every 10 years so that it stays in the, you know?
Well, they always say the only way people greenlight stuff in Hollywood or whatever is if you say it's a different version of something, it has to be something already. That's why remakes and sequels, because they're like, oh, you know, this made $1 billion. We'll just do it again.
Do that in here.
You know, Dumb and Dumber, Ghostbusters 2, the only one to ever be actually a good sequel, plus the other ones.
Yeah, watching. I want to watch that right now. Damn,
yeah, I know. I me too. It's so good.
I love that movie.
Oh, man. Do you have other stuff or what? I thought you had a lot of stuff today, or did you already do it?
Well, I've done most of it. I did the entire plot of Ghostbusters 2.
I feel like we could revisit that a little. I don't know if we fully
covered. Yeah. Oh, well, I have one other thing. I haven't gone to the doctor for like 2 years. I don't know if I told you that, but
man,
I
need to do that.
Yeah. I was like, I should get my cholesterol and all that.
I should go get my cholesterol.
Yeah. Get my yearly cholesterol.
Yeah.
Dose. And my doctor, I found out my doctor just quit. And so I have to get a new doctor. And so long story short, I got a new doctor and I went today and she's amazing. Like the best doctor I've ever had. I instantly liked her. You know, what's weird is like, I mean, it's going to sound obvious, but you know how doctors and dentists and all those people, they're not humans. Like they never act 100% yeah. like just a human, you know?
Yeah.
Like some of them are more human than others, but it's like, you know, your boss or whatever is not ever really human. They just can't, they just think that like I have a patient relationship. I have to act like it, not how I would be at home or anywhere. And my last doctor was really like that. Like he just had no, you couldn't level with the guy. You know, like I'm going to level with you right now. He wouldn't do it. And this lady was just amazing. Like just a normal, it was like I met a person at like a coffee shop. She's like, I'm going to be your doctor. Also, let's just, you know, we'll have some coffee, whatever, talk about whatever. But we were talking about all this stuff, and, you know, I have this tennis elbow. Fucking, and I wanted her to tell me it was
You've been playing a lot of tennis.
I just use my elbow. I don't use the racket because I'm just lights out with my elbow in tennis. But I've paid a price.
Yeah.
So she goes, you know, I have to hold your arm. Because I go, I want to make sure it's not like a blown elbow gasket. Tendon or whatever. Yeah. And, she goes, well, if you try, you know, if you've taken handfuls of ibuprofen 24/7, yeah, I've done that.
I'm literally downing a bottle right now. Just like right down my throat.
I have like the little ring that goes around your tendons.
You have the like beer hat thing, but with ibuprofen on. Yeah. That's how I live my life pretty much.
Yeah. And before that, we were talking about other stuff and how I was like, yeah, I don't like taking anything. Like, don't try to give me any medicine. I don't want to take any, unless it's ibuprofen. It's the best. But so she thought that I like, you know, wasn't, like I was the type of person that wouldn't do anything that was recommended or I don't know. But she goes, well, if you've tried all that, there's one other thing that we could do. Like she's kind of setting it up. Like he's not going to like this, you know? And she goes, we can set you up with injections of like the steroid injection. I was like, yeah, ooh, let's do it.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, I thought you weren't going to want to do that. I was like, no, I don't. And I realized like shots are nothing. We talked about it before, but they're nothing.
Oof.
I will take shots all day long. Even if it's the same medicine that they would give me in pill form, which that's what that is. Like it's just, you could take like an oral steroid for whatever. Maybe it wouldn't be as effective as if they injected it into your elbow, but I'm ready for 100 needles in my elbow right now. I'll take the stick.
Man, I've never been good with shots. I've gotten better. I've conquered it with my mind, you know. And now that I've had to get probably one of the worst events of my life was taking Phoebe to get shots and blood drawn. That was the ultimate worst. It doesn't get much worse than that. Like we had to force this poor happy child into the most miserable situation that she's ever been in her life.
Yeah.
Probably the hardest thing I've ever done. But so now that that happened, like it was easier for me. It's like, just fucking, stab me. I don't care. Stab me to death. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's better than having to watch Phoebe do it. But I don't know, man. I still have the hardest time. For whatever reason, the flu shot really gets me. And not just like the needle part. I've gotten over that. Like it does bother me, but I just focus on others. Like it's fine now. But whenever I get a flu shot, which I do every year, it actually really messes with me. Like my arm will hurt for a long time, like several days. And sometimes I'll get pains in a lot of places. I don't know if it's just me, but like it sucks. I hate it every year.
Oh, yeah, the flu shot's a little different because it's actually worse the next day and the day after that than it is.
Yeah.
Like actually getting it is nothing. And then you just feel like a dead person for 2 days. Yeah. Yeah, I was supposed to do that today, and I was like, no, nah, not because of that, but I have to work the next 2 days. Yeah. And I'm not going to have like a dead arm and like yeah. you said,
it
feel kill, like a
it murders
touch of
my
flu.
Shoulder like for yeah, two yeah. 3 days.
I know, I couldn't do that today, but I'm I don't know, I'm excited because if it works, then I can, you know, we can
be jabbing yourself all the time.
Yeah, but we're playing hockey and we're trying to play hockey and golf more, and my arms hurt so bad all the time. But I've never had the injection for that. I wonder if it'll just be like, oh,
what
God,
does it do
gone.
Exactly? Did she explain? Like, how does it work?
They're just steroid shots. They're the ones that the players take in games. It's like when you have pain, but it's not like an injury. Like, you're not worried about the ligament, like, coming off the bone. Because tendonitis is the biggest bullshit injury of all time. It's like your tendons are like, we don't want to do this. Yeah. That's all they do.
It's just like a protest. Like, it's not even... Yeah. Nothing wrong with them.
There's nothing wrong with them. Yeah, they're like, we're tired. We're not going to do this for
get back
year
to work,
and a half.
You fucking tendons.
Yeah. Well, and if you rest it, that's the thing. If you have tendonitis and you're just like, fine, I'll just put my arm in a cast or whatever. Doesn't help. They're like, oh, now we're
right
tired
back.
And
yeah.
weak. And don't try to do anything with the rest of your muscles because we can't handle that now because we quit.
So it's just like some tiny flare-up thing that just causes an unreasonable amount of pain, basically.
Yeah, it's really bad. Well, it's also weakness. Like it, because they're the point that's connected to your bone. So then, like the muscles in your forearm that would do like the heavy lifting, there, the tendon, you know, the parts of the tendons are like, we're not doing this. And your muscles are like, fine, then we can't do this either. Like it needs to all.
But
you
it's
know,
somehow
all
not a serious
atrophy.
Injury.
No, it's just tendonitis.
Huh? Weird.
I thought you had a really bad tendonitis thing.
I always have really bad tendonitis all the time. But I've never done anything about it. Like I had to stop drop out of some stuff that I couldn't do anymore because it hurt so bad in my arms and my elbows.
Well, if this
and
works, like, we could just shoot you up.
That's fine. True. I'm getting it more. And I'm getting some weird stuff in my hands. I'm just everything hurts all the time now. But it doesn't hurt enough. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, it'll hurt more.
It'll get to the point where it hurts too much and I can't do anything. Probably pretty soon. Maybe another 10 years. We'll see.
Yeah. But,
golf wasn't that bad though. When we played golf, it didn't really hurt too bad.
But, yeah, it warmed up. Golf was the hockey was killing me. Like just hitting the stick down into the
catching
ice.
My laser beam passes.
Yeah, it's a little more forearms and wrists than golf. Golf, you use your shoulders and back and stomach and all that, which that'll hurt afterwards.
Yeah, but a good hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, man. I'm going under the needle. So
awesome.
I think that's what they say.
Going under the needle.
Yeah, imagine I'll just be lying down and a giant needle will be like brought
it's
down
like
from
a,
the ceiling.
It's like a sewing machine or something. Like going under the needle. Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that and see how that goes.
Yeah, that's about all I have. I've just been working every second of every day. But that's the one last thing I was going to say. Is you realize anything good in humans, you know, human civilization, whenever there's like, oh, it's the holidays and like all this stuff is happening, that means, like you said, the slaves at Amazon are like, somebody else is paying the price dearly for like anybody who gets to have fun as a, you know, like holidays or whatever. That means the other half or whatever percentage it is killing themselves working to have all that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not as bad as like someone that works at, you know, whatever, Amazon or Target or Walmart, but like I am in that world a little bit and it's just hell. Like I don't, when Christmas comes along, I'm like, cool, I might be able to have Christmas Day and then I have to work because everyone else is off and is like, I want to spend money and do stuff and have things. And so all the other people have to be the ones making that happen. It's weird. We don't really have, like, don't you think when you were little, you thought everyone just quits at Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird adjusting to the, especially because I, you know, going from college where you get like a year off for Christmas break and then into a job where it's like, oh, it's Christmas. You get a day off and then it's back to everything. And and like you're saying, a lot of people don't even get a day off. But like, for typical job, it's like, yeah, you get a day. Maybe you take another day. Maybe you take a little vacation. But it's pretty much just bang and then done.
Yeah. All it's like all the stuff we like watching. Well, I guess there's no football on Christmas, but they'll do like basketball or like all the stuff that's going on. All those people are just working like all day Christmas. Like If anything that you want when you're off is means other people are working their asses off to like do all this stuff. It's weird.
I wonder, do kids ever ask like what if the elves get paid or anything? I was thinking about that. Like, has any kid ever been like, so what are these elves, slaves or what are they? I guess they're not. They're by the time they're old enough to figure it out, they already realize the whole shit.
Pretty much what happens.
Yeah,
our daughter knows, but she's still pretending to not know, just because you know, which is nice for. Let my son have like one or two more years of pretending there's elves and all that stuff.
Oh, but, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I guess whatever. Yeah,
yeah, it's
did we
fun.
Talk about that? Yeah, I think we probably talked about that before. We'll see. Yeah. It's
I guess
basically
she's not
everything with Phoebe is really fun, so it might make sense that it would be really fun.
Yeah, getting them to believe stuff that's fake is fun.
Dude, did your kids do this? My favorite thing is that. So she's super attached to her, you know, dolls or whatever, stuffed animals and like, so she has a puppy that's Bobby and puppy.
Yeah.
She kind of says both, but it's Bobby, you know, like Bobby. And so she has that. And then there's this other like toy somebody gave us, you know, it's hard to keep track of all the billion toys and stuff, but one that's like a, you know, like a plastic robotic puppy that like kind of walks and makes a bunch of sounds and stuff, but it's not like, it's not
Mauls
something you would like
get too close.
Yeah. It's not something you would like cuddle. You know, it's like, it's a machine. It's a piece of machinery. And then like, she's also got her bear, which she calls Biss. Biss. And then the funniest thing now is she'll try to, she has to have all of them. Like she'll try to collect all of, and she'll walk like she's, the image is like she's a refugee that's just tried to carry all her possessions. You know, like she's her town was just bombed and like she's grabbed everything she could. And so she's got her Bobby. She's got her the freaking heavy mechanical Bobby. She got her Biss. And then like there's also this heavy like baby doll thing that she calls Baby. And she'll have all four of them. And then she'll walk in the most desperate way, like, these are my things. And she'll walk like a few steps and then drop one and then pick it up. It's the funniest fucking thing. God. Oh, kids are so funny. I love it.
Yeah, my kids are Nolan just passed that stage. He still has a bunch of stuffed animals on his bed, but it's all like, he doesn't do that anymore. But yeah, they all do that. Well, I don't know if they all do that, but both my kids did that too, where they try to have everything on
it's so funny.
On his bed, he'd have like 900 things lined up that all have to be in there or like wouldn't be able to go to sleep. Yeah.
It's fun. Man. Plus the ghosts.
Yeah, a couple ghosts in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Sorry I was a little late. Sam has a shitload of work, but we still got it to you. And we'll probably still get you one next week, I think.
Yeah. Maybe.
For sure. Yeah.
Christmas Eve recording with hot cocoa.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could play golf on Christmas Eve. That's probably whenever. It's Christmas Day that you could really get out there.
Yeah, maybe.
Play 36 holes. Didn't Dad go golf on Christmas Day?
Oh, yeah. He just
goes. He does. Yeah. No, I'm not joking. That's really
serious. He just goes
serious.
Like instead of being around anybody.
He would come out for the morning and then at like noon he would go. Like he'd be like, all right, are we done with this? Well, he wouldn't say anything. He would just like, it was pretty much. I'm serious. Didn't he play on Christmas Day? No, they couldn't have been open on Christmas Day. What was that?
I think he has. I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway,
so I got one
We'll be golfing. Yeah. We'll be golfing and eating McDonald's at Christmas Day. All right. See you guys next time.
This has been a Comedy Shoeshine. Find us online at comedyshoeshine.com or like us on facebook.com/comedyshoeshine. Definitely follow us on Twitter @comedyshoeshine. And most importantly, help keep the podcast going at patreon.com/shoeshine.
Now enjoy the rest of this badass song.